Hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of Talking Steelers Football. I'm Bob Labriola, joined as always by Mike Pursuta of the DVE Morning Show. The Battle of the Commonwealth shaping up Sunday at Heinz Field. You and I disagree slightly about whether that actually means anything anymore. I don't really, especially football, I don't see Pittsburgh and Philadelphia having anything of a rivalry, but...
I think Pittsburgh and Philadelphia have a rivalry just because tax dollars allotted, who has the better bus system, whether Permane brothers are better than cheesesteaks, Pens Flyers, Bucks Phillies, Steelers Eagles.
Where are you on the cheesesteak versus Permane's? I mean,
got to be honest with you.
I like the cheesesteak. It's pretty, you know, I mean.
Cheesesteak's got the Lombardis in that matchup.
Yeah, okay.
Sorry.
You know, I understand that the Permane's is, you know, from my neighborhood, but yeah, I'm with you on that.
Would be Pats, by the way.
Well, I mean, see, I don't think I have ever had anything else. I mean,
just people that might not be aware of the Philadelphia history, there's Pats and there's Geno's. They're basically across the street from each other, and it's the cheesesteak war that's been raging for years, but it's no contest. It's Pats.
Yeah, and I'm on, you know, making it a Pittsburgh thing in terms of that kind of competition between places serving the same basic menu in the same general area, Mineo's and Aiello's, yes, in Squirrel Hill, and me having grown up and went to Central Catholic. Everybody in my class. I mean, you were either a Mineo's guy or an Aiello's guy, and, you know, it's kind of like in Ireland, you're either a Catholic or you're a Protestant, and you believe in what you are.
I was going to say Jameson or Bushmills, but the same thing.
Well, yeah, that is the same thing. You know, you believe in what you believe in your side, and you never switch sides. So anyway.
And you defend your side.
Irrationally
with complete vigilance, and you're resolute, and your opinion just doesn't change.
Right, and it's you do it passionately.
Yes.
Okay, anyway.
So it's a big one.
Evidently. I will agree that it's a big one. We may, choose different reasons why, you know, to me, this is unfortunate for the Steelers that it is only here. We're sitting here on Thursday, October the 4th, and it's already for me, it's already an issue of arithmetic for the Steelers. They're 1-2. The Bengals and the Ravens are already both 3-1. A loss to the Eagles, truly to me, would not be an embarrassment. This Eagles team, I believe, is a quality team, certainly a playoff caliber team. You know, we'll see how the NFC shakes out. Maybe they're a Super Bowl contender. So losing to the Eagles would be no disgrace, certainly. But if the Steelers do lose to the Eagles, then they're 1-3 after the same weekend where Miami is playing Cincinnati, 4-1. And Kansas City is playing Baltimore, 4-1. That's 2.5 games behind, 4 games in. As I said on the morning show today, appearing with you, Mike.
Is that on the What's at Stake report sponsored by Ruth Chris?
Yes, it is on 102.5 DV, the Steelers flagship radio station.
It's every Thursday, if I'm not mistaken.
Every Thursday, yeah, about 9:20. Yeah. As I mentioned, you do play the Bengals and the Ravens still twice each, but if you're more than 2 games behind when you're playing the one of the teams that you really need to catch, you can beat them twice and it's still not good enough to pass them, even to get the tiebreakers activated. So the Steelers need to start, as Mike Tomlin says, stacking wins. It's unfortunate that the first one or their first opportunity to do that is against a pretty good team.
Yeah, I'm with you on pretty good team. I'm also with you on the importance of the game, although I'm not as into the mathematics of it, at least not yet, because I try to avoid math at any and all costs until I absolutely have to deal with it. But
unless you're adding up what people owe you for these kind of fees, then
well,
you like math.
There is that. I'm looking at it more kind of big picture. The Steelers are coming off a loss. They're coming off a bye. We're getting to the point now, it'll be 5 weeks into the season, 4 games into the season. It's about the time your team needs to reveal its character and its makeup and what it's all about. And this is bounce back mode for the Steelers. They know they need to win. They know they need to defend Heinz Field. Those are obvious, almost every week kind of deal. So if you're coming off a loss, you got to win the next one. You always got to win your home games. The defensive line, admittedly, has not played as well as it believes it can play. You're going against an offensive line with a rookie center and an unsettled left tackle situation. That's an area Steelers got to dominate that, right? You're looking at wanting to get more pressure on the quarterback and maybe make some plays on the ball in the secondary. You're getting James Harrison and Troy Polamalu back. You want to run the ball better. You've been working at this all season long. Now Rashard Mendenhall's coming back. So it's time for these Steelers to show us who they are. You know, I think we both had pretty high opinions of this team at the start of the regular season, and what we've seen on the field has kind of betrayed that to a pretty significant degree. Still plenty of time to, you know, kick it into gear, stack the wins, end up where you thought you'd be all along, but I need to make up a little ground here, Labs.
Yeah, and, you know, as you mentioned, they get a chance to show who they are, and I think that part of the showing who they are in a positive way is going to be quitting what they've been, which – I'm going to give you this. You know, there are a lot of things that really have irked me about this start, but this is probably up near the top. And since the Steelers' red zone offense is now highly efficient in terms of where it needs to be.
That is not irking you.
That is not. So I got another drum to beat on, and it is penalties. 28 penalties for the Steelers in three games. That's an average of 9.33 per game. Washington, Baltimore, and Seattle all have 37 penalties so far, but they have played four games. That's an average of 9.25. So the Steelers are leading the NFL in penalties per game, but even if they were tied for first, you know, that's still unacceptable. You know, the highly penalized, a lot of pre-snap penalties, too many on special teams, too many all combined on offense, where, you know, you're hurting, either taking scores off the board as they did with the punt return, and I consider returns on special teams to be offense, or, you know, killing big gains, putting yourself in down and distance situations. It became first and 20, did it not, right away on the last possession against the Raiders?
Yes, it did.
Okay. You know, that's unnecessary to put yourself in that kind of a hole in a situation where you need a score in order not to lose the game. So I don't know if it's discipline. I don't know what it is, but they need to clean it up right now. Learn to, you know, everybody holds, that's fine. Learn to do it slicker, you know, or then don't do it because two penalties on a punt return for a touchdown. I mean, you're giving the opponent the option of picking which one they want. I mean, that just has to end right now.
They also turned a fourth and goal inside the 10.
Fourth and two, it's six, into a first and goal.
And that became 7 points on the board for the Raiders. Yeah, that stuff's got to stop.
I mean, that to me is borderline slappiness, and the Steelers are not a slappy team, slappy organization. They don't approach their business that way, and, you know, it.
All the more reason why you would expect that stuff to be addressed. And if it is not after this Philadelphia game, then the red flags are starting to fly.
Yeah, I mean, to me, if the Steelers play Sunday against the Eagles and they are, you know, highly penalized again, show some inability to tackle the guy with the football on the other team, you know, and turn it over, you know, I'm reaching for the panic button. Because to me now, four of these games in a row three games out of the first four, and you're doing these same kind of really stupid things, I think it becomes who you are.
Interesting choice of words about panic button, because since that Raiders game, I've talked to three players, Larry Foote, Jericho Cotri, and Ben Roethlisberger, who all mentioned panic or the panic button in the context of it's not time to panic, or we don't panic around here, or no need to press the panic button yet. And none of that just came up in their conversation. No one was specifically asked, hey, Larry Foote, is it time to panic? He didn't say, no, it's not. He just, they're thinking along those same lines. And I think that reveals a little bit the sense of urgency that they're approaching this week's work.
Yeah, I mean, it's a fine line between a sense of urgency and panicking.
Yeah.
You know, so.
When you drive the car real fast and you make that turn on two wheels and you execute it, it's really cool. You're Steve McQueen. When it rolls over a few times and then hits something and explodes in a ball of flames, that's not what you're after.
Yeah, exactly.
But there's a fine line between those two scenarios.
Yes, there
scenarios.
Is. And, you know, I don't know. This game, to me, is going to be extremely interesting. There's a lot of different ways that it can unfold. One of the things I'm interested in seeing is whether Andy Reid is truly now a changed man in terms of respecting that he has a pretty good running attack and one of the best backs in the NFL on his roster, or whether that was a one-game anomaly against a division team on the road. They were on the road, right? Or was that in Philly?
No, that was at Lincoln Financial
okay.
Field.
But a key game against a division team at home, you don't want to lose those. That, you know, had him, you know, give the ball to LeSean McCoy 17 times in the second half after he had only gained 2 yards on 6 carries in the first half. Usually Andy quits that, you know, packs that away. Forget the running game. 6 carries for 2 yards. Well, it's not working today. Let's start throwing it everywhere.
You know, that was my impression as well, but I crunched a few numbers on that. And let's start with that Giants game, 36 rushes and 30 passing attempts.
You did research?
Cheating. Six of the rushes were Mike Vick. It looked to me as if two of them were planned and four of them were scrambles. So it was almost 50-50 in intent.
That's still very un-Andy Reid-ish.
Yeah.
Okay.
You would think. But for the season, those Eagles have rushed it 128 times and thrown it 155 times, which is not the disparity I would have thought through four games. That's 28, 38, 48, 58, let's say, for rounding it off purposes. 30 more passes through four games.
But that's seven more a game.
Yeah, is that a huge number?
I mean, especially when one of the games went the other way.
Yeah, that's true.
So in the other three, he's probably at least 10 more passes than runs.
But 2011, Eagles threw it 554 times and ran it 450 times. It's over 100 more passes for the course of the regular season. The Steelers threw it 539 times and ran it 434
times. That's why that guy retired.
That's why
that guy retired.
That was unacceptable here. Seems to be just fine there. But I guess the point I'm getting at is maybe, particularly as LeSean McCoy grows into the running back he's becoming, even Andy Reid might want to run that horse a little bit more often.
So I
contend to you that the job one on Sunday will still be stop the run, try to make him one-dimensional.
Yeah, and if it's Andy Reid who stops it for you, that's okay with me too. You
got to get 25 on the ground, though. You can't let him get around that edge.
No.
Can't let him cut it back. Can't let him dance out of trouble in the middle of the line and take off.
Oh, he'll hurt you. I mean, and he can hurt you for long distances. He can put it up on the – you know, you'll be lining up for an extra point if you're not in your gaps. This guy is – I don't know. We were kicking this around. Is he the best running back the Steelers will face? And I think that there's only one guy who's even in the conversation.
So do I.
And that's Ray Rice.
Yeah, I'm going to take this guy. No disrespect to Ray Rice, who I think is phenomenal also.
I'm going to take this guy too for that very reason.
If I get one,
yeah,
I'm picking
McCoy. Yeah, because I would rather have, you know, as I said, the speed to me is the difference. Both good receivers, both can beat you themselves virtually.
And I think both guys – the offense of each guy's team to a large degree runs through him. And if you take that guy out, you have a chance to beat that team. If that guy has a good day, you're probably going to lose.
The other thing that to me that is critical in this game, specific to the opponent, the Eagles are also extremely active and aggressive on their defensive front. They will dress 9 defensive linemen. They will play
not, 10 on the roster.
They will play 9. And I'm here to tell you, if you watch the Steelers preseason game against the Eagles, and I understand it was preseason, but there was a guy who made Mike Adams's NFL debut a miserable experience. His name is Phillip Hunt. He is 3rd string defensive end. That, to me, is frightening. The starters didn't even dress, Babin and Trent Cole, in that preseason game. But Phillip Hunt couldn't be blocked for a good portion of the first half. So based on that, you know, the Steelers' offense needs to do what is necessary to try and blunt that a little bit. Get it out quick, run the ball a little bit. Hopefully maybe you get yourself a lead where you can stay out of being predictable. But otherwise, I mean, we both remember 2008 at the Link. I didn't know if, you know, Ben was going to leave there on the team bus or in an ambulance the way they were pounding him almost from the opening kickoff. So that's the other thing to me. Got to protect number seven.
You mentioned the other guy that used to run the offense retired.
Yeah.
This is why the guy who's running it now, I think, was brought here for a little foghorn, leghorn. The feathers are numbered for just such an emergency. This is where you adjust and you deal with what they do and decide not to let it beat you by whatever means are available to you. Not, well, we do this, they do that, let's see what happens.
Yeah, right.
That's not an acceptable risk factor.
Not to me.
Against these guys. So I think you will see more running inside that wide nine. I think you'll see more dump down to the running backs. And, oh, by the way, Rashard Mendenhall was really, really good at catching balls in the flat and turning them into splash plays at the University of Illinois. It's never really been emphasized here. It has been all of a sudden now. Let's see what happens with that.
Okay, so we both agree that this is a very important game for the Steelers, and also one that I'm looking forward to seeing. It intrigues me on a lot of different levels, and you know the best thing about it? 1 o'clock Sunday kickoff, first one of the year for us.
That's a good thing. Two matchups I'm going to be looking at if we got another couple of seconds.
Real quick.
Rookie linebacker out of Cal for Philadelphia, Michael Kendricks. Starting it outside, he gets the tight ends a lot. Heath Miller, I think that's a big-time matchup in favor of the Steelers. And if the Steelers should go three wide when they're not running, the nickelback for Philadelphia is a rookie out of Georgia, Brandon Boykin. Excellent player. Catches, runs, competes, battles. He's a little guy, but he'll fight you. He almost beat Michigan State single-handed in the bowl game last year when he was with Georgia. And when I say almost, you know what almost winning is.
It's losing.
But he had a punt return for a touchdown, pick six, tackled a guy for safety. But he's been getting slot receivers. The Giants had some success with Victor Cruz Sunday night. Emmanuel Sanders and or Jericho Cotchery, both veterans to Boykin's rookie status. I think that's one. Rogers, Cromartie, and Asamoah cancel out Wallace and Brown. But there's a receiving matchup I think the Steelers can win also.
Okay, we'll keep.
You got the tight end. You got the slot guy. Run it some. Dump it down some. We'll talk about a nice victory Monday morning.
And if not, I will get out the abacus and do some arithmetic. That'll do it for this edition of Talking Steelers Football. For Mike Pursuta, I'm Bob Labriola. Thanks for listening. We'll talk to you Monday.